Welcome back to Don't Call It a Book Club. My name is Luke.
My name is Dan.
We're back after a short break and starting a new book. Dan, today we are reading Kings of the Wild.
Ow! I always feel like there should be like a big guitar solo or something whenever you say it.
you surprised me a little bit with that, and I thought you were saying no, and I was like, oh, did I get the name wrong?
No, you got it.
Okay. We are up to chapter 18. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll talk. I have a short warm up. Well, we'll see if it's short.
Let's do it.
It's a little bit of a rant for me. So how do I want to talk about this? I feel like, I don't know if this is a consistent thing or just a thing that's happened to me a lot recently.
Okay.
But there's actually, I have to give a preface for this. This is maybe not going to be a thing for you, Dan, but I and a lot of my friends enjoy going to a restaurant, sports bar kind of thing to watch a game, right?
Okay.
Do you do this? I know you're not a sports guy, but like,
literally never done this.
Okay.
You did this when we were in New Zealand, so I know you do this.
Yes. It's nice to do it with a group of friends. Okay. Oh, we're going to hang out and there's like an activity. We're watching something. We're getting dinner. It's a thing.
Okay. Fair enough.
But like, we are going to watch a game.
Okay.
Right. And we go to a restaurant that is well known for having sports on TVs, right? Mm-hmm. They have a bunch of TVs. Great. People go there to watch games.
Yeah.
We have multiple of these that we've been to. There's an epidemic of the people that arrange the seating.
Oh, no.
Just not doing it correctly. Where this happened to me like the last three or four times I've gone to one of these restaurants. Uh-huh. I've been like, yeah, a table for three. Just, we're here to watch this game. So if you could do a table that has a good view of the TVs, that would be great.
Yeah.
Not busy, because we're on Pacific time, so it's always at like 5 p.m., right?
Luke
so
has like, started his retired phase.
That's right. And so like, there's plenty of space, and they'll be like, okay, we'll take you over here, and they'll walk over there, and it'll be like a table like under a TV, and it's like, okay, I can't see it here, and then like, we'll sit down for a second. We'll be like debating amongst ourselves. We're like, should we say something? Like, should we try to? And then so we will. And they'll be like, oh, okay, no problem. And then they'll move us like to the next table over, which you can technically see, but it's like, now I'm craning my neck 100, like whatever angle.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah.
Has this just fallen out of our consciousness of like how to do this?
Where like TVs are now the background. TVs are just everywhere. They don't know how to, ooh.
Well, and then also a lot of times we'll be like, okay, we want to watch this game, it's on this channel, and it takes the people like, seriously, I the past five times for the TVs,
yeah
they have like not been able to figure out how to change the channel to like ESPN, and it's like, you guys, this is your job. What is, you do this every day. You turn the TV on and you change it to whatever channel. I'm asking you to change it to a different common channel. You know how to, why is this so difficult?
Here's the thing, Luke. Maybe this is way rarer than you imagine. Maybe people aren't doing this anymore. Because I know people used to be doing this. Maybe people don't go to sports bars to watch the game as much anymore, or you're just going to really shitty ones, Luke. Did you ever consider that?
No.
Luke has impeccable taste.
I refuse to consider that.
Luke, here, I want you to try something next time.
Okay.
I want you to call ahead, mm-hmm, and give them some qualifications, right? Be like, look, it's on this channel. When we get there, I'll know y'all are ready for us if I see that channel on. And if I don't, we're leaving.
Okay.
Or maybe, no. I'm going to say sweeten the deal a little bit. You say, look, if we show up and get a table that's got a good view of a TV turned to this channel, I'm gonna drop $10 right there to the to our server. I'll give them $10 before we even eat. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And I do. I think that one would work much better than the first solution you offered.
Yeah. And then here's the thing. Here's what you do. Because this is an investment, Luke. When you show up, if that's not the case, as soon as your server comes up, you're like, hey, we called and told them we would give our server $10 if they did this thing. And unfortunately, like, y'all weren't ready for us. So next time, I'm going to do the same thing. You talk to the host or whoever. Make sure that they talk to you about it. Or $20, I don't know. I don't know what this would be worth. I feel like $10 is a good, like, it's an easy thing to do. And if you're already coming,
Yeah. $20 would be too. Let me do one more thing that always happens in placement of where they put us.
Yeah.
So keep in mind, we're choosing the places that we know have several TVs.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Because, like, if you're going with multiple people, like, you need multiple TVs.
Yeah.
Because, like, we're going to be facing different directions.
Right.
And, like, restaurants, sports bars are built for this concept.
Correct.
They know this. But, like, they will not seat us in such a way. So, like, we have to, like, we have to sit, like,
side by side,
Last Supper style, or something. And it's like, oh my god, it's been driving me crazy, because, like, I'm not a confrontational person, but every single time I've had to be like, listen, you horrible job sitting me, can you move me somewhere else?
And now I
like can't trust you to seat me, so now I have to be like, can I move to that table, and can you change both of those TVs to the channel,
which of course
it's a nightmare.
It of course, like, feels bad. I'm sure it feels bad, because you're like, it feels like you're asking a lot of, like, really specific requests of these people. But on the counter side of this, these are all perfectly reasonable requests that, like, especially if they knew you were coming, easy to accommodate, easy to be like, okay, there's some folks coming to watch the game, so we'll put them here. Like, it should be expected. If you're otherwise,
it's the point. It's the entire concept.
It's the entire point of the sports bar.
This is a sports bar.
Yes. This is their reason for existing. Otherwise, like, don't call yourself a sports bar. Don't have a bunch of TVs everywhere. You don't get to go by that classification, right?
Yes.
The only alternative to this, Luke, is, you know, you got to stop going to various Outback steakhouses in the Arizona area and expecting them to put football on the TV. They don't watch it down there.
I mean, that's right. Yeah. It's golf on every channel here.
Right.
You
know, Luke, for somebody who's not a sports fan, this would frustrate me so much as well.
It's very frustrating. Yeah. It's very frustrating. I don't know. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if this is a regional thing, folks out there. If we've lost the ability to do sports bars, let me know.
Maybe they're all, like, doing anime now, where you're supposed to show up with, like, a USB stick of, like, 900 episodes of Naruto.
Uh-huh.
And be like, okay, can you put it on that TV over there? And they're like, oh, no, we already got it. Don't worry. And you're like, no, but mine is the special dubbed version, the Canadian dubbed version, so it's better.
Mm-hmm. Love the dubbed culture.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's. Oh. Try it. See what happens. Now this is grounds for experimentation. Now, Luke, right?
Yeah.
This is grounds to see what buttons do you need to push to get a very simple request fulfilled from a restaurant.
Yeah. We'll see.
Try the $10 thing. See how it works.
Yeah. Okay. There's my rant. But let's get the band back together, Dan.
Ooh.
Stuck Kings of the Wild.
Okay.
Again, up to chapter 18 is where we've stopped. I'm gonna go small at the beginning. here?
Oh, we might have the same small note.
Because it's at the very beginning.
Yeah.
It's about helmets.
Oh, we got the same starting note. But I have a... All right. You start us off. Let's go. Let's talk about helmets.
Like, he complains about how he's been tossing his helmet left and right. He's been losing his helmet for years. Like, multiple helmets over the years because he hates wearing them.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, obscure your vision. Can't hear out of them. There's solutions to this.
Such as?
Like, you just... You get a helmet that doesn't do those things. Right? Like... wider visor thing. Maybe. Or like holes in the ears,
or just like something that just goes over the top of your head, right?
Or like, yeah that also works.
Yeah,
listen,
but,
here's the thing,
he needs the hair
your head does need the hair mat from Scrubs.
Yeah.
Yes. Here's the thing, your head is really important. You should protect it.
Especially considering this guy's moniker is Slow Hand, because he always gets hit first in a fight. Listen, they go for your head, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Luke, I actually have a theory about this.
Okay.
Because I came at it from the other side, where I'm like, why do they keep giving this guy helmets? Like, clearly... Yeah. He's throwing them away. Clearly, he's losing them instantly.
Yeah.
What quartermaster is like, oh, yeah. This guy, we need to keep him helmeted. Like, the flip side of this is he's selling his helmet and you're just giving him more helmets to sell, to pawn off.
Right.
So.
It's like that feeding dogs to the coyotes meme.
I don't know if I know that one.
Oh, yeah, not okay. We'll look it up afterwards.
Okay. All right. And Luke, this led me down the path of theory, because I think they're not giving him real helmets.
Ooh, okay.
I think they're giving him trash as a joke.
Oh, you think they've been playing like pranks on him?
This
to
is
see
a prank.
How long it takes for him to figure it out.
And how long he will wear it before throwing it away. And they're like giving him things out of the kitchen that they have soldered together as a helmet. Like they've got a soup bowl that they're like, yeah, let's just like glue some oven mitts to the side of this. And he's like, he puts it on. He's like, God, this thing's heavy and I can't hear anything out of it. And it's itchy. And they're like, dude, he wore that for 2 days. How funny is that?
What do you think is the goal? Like, you think they're having a competition to see who can get him to throw theirs away the quickest?
No. I think they're trying to see how far they can take it before he notices they're not actually helmets.
Okay.
And he's yet to say anything to them. He keeps calling them helmets and putting them on his head.
Right.
When they give them to him. So I, because there can't be a quartermaster out there that's just like, oh, you lost it again? Oh, 12, two no. days and you lost your helmet? Well, here's another one.
It's prohibitively expensive.
Yeah. For them. Especially considering the field, the potter's field strewn with helmets that he passes on the way. Like years and years worth of helmets that are not hidden. Like anyone can walk by and see the big field of helmets.
Yeah.
That he's thrown away.
My theory building on this is that they are just giving him the same helmets that he throws away.
But the oldest
ones. And they're cycling
ones.
Through. Yeah, the oldest ones.
They're cleaning them up just a little bit.
So at a certain point, there is this pile, but it hasn't gotten bigger in the last 3 years, because every time he adds one to it, they take the oldest one and give it back to him.
Right. Right. That's not a bad theory, Luke.
That's where I am. Yeah.
I like that. Plus, they can tell him it's like, if it's weathered, they can be like, oh, we found this in an old Durek ruin site.
Mm.
It's probably got some magical powers. Try it on.
Right. It's a fun game.
It is a fun game.
They're bored, so they got to do something.
Yeah. True. Yeah, the helmet thing is crazy. Right,
I'm glad we had a similar first note.
I have another note here that's not super big, but
okay.
They go to get the sword back. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe and is it Clay Cooper or Cooper Clay?
I think Clay Cooper.
Okay. Gabe and Clay go to get the sword back from their old Booker, and yeah. He isn't into it. And he has a couple of golems that are going to stop them.
Yeah.
And they get possession of these golems. Did they give them away way too quickly?
Yes.
These things seem so valuable. They used them to like bust out of his mansion. My assumption about them is they don't need to eat or sleep, and they're just like robots that'll do whatever you tell them to.
Right. Yeah.
They're super strong. Yeah. They're super durable. And he's going to come looking for him. He's already looking for you. He's already looking for you.
He shows up anyway. Yeah. If anything, like how does you getting rid of them help you? Because if he's going to come looking for them, it's better for you to have them.
Right.
Actually.
Y'all have already been robbed one time on the way there. You get robbed a second time, and having some golems might have been helpful.
They did. They did get rid of him way too quickly.
To like a farmer whose cart was broken. Come on, that's not even that good.
Let's see. The farmer just struck gold, honestly.
The farmer was like, they offered it to him. The farmer was like, whoa, I guess I could take them, but this seems too much. Like, do you have a horse? Like, I would take a horse.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing I can think of is that considering the ease by which someone can take over the golems.
Yeah.
Because it's just whoever holds them.
Seems like whoever has the amulet. Yeah.
Easy to do a swaparoo, as we see.
Right.
And then if you're worried about someone being able to take it from you, then it's like, oh, now they also have two golems that can beat me up.
Counterpoint, Luke. Every morning I tell the golems, carry my pack and protect me, and then I swallow the little amulet.
every morning?
Yep. You got to do it every morning, unfortunately.
You know what? You're right. Absolutely right. Mm-hmm. Solved. Mm-hmm. Problem solved. There we go. We got to get a password system or something going on with this, right?
True. Well, I don't know if that would work with the whole medallion thing.
Okay.
Anyway, they gave them up too quick.
They gave up way too quick. They're very useful. So far, unimpressed with their adventuring abilities, if I'm honest.
Yeah. Like, I get that they're old.
Yeah.
But the fights they're getting in seem kind of close. Do they seem kind of close to you, the fights they're getting into?
Yeah. So they've only really gotten into one fight, and it's at the very end here.
One, kind of two. I would say one big one. Yeah, at the end.
And that one's very even, but they kind of don't have weapons,
which is insane to me that they keep losing all their weapons and Gabe is like barehanded.
I have a note since we're here about the thieves.
Yeah. Which thieves?
Like,
you're talking about the silken arrows.
That steal from them twice.
Yeah.
For one thing, someone's got to do something about them.
Right, they're a menace.
But also, am I supposed to like them?
I think you're supposed to admire their moxie.
I guess so.
And they leave him with his shield. They have some like respect for him a little bit.
Not enough, though.
That's true.
They hear this story about them going through and like going to do this crazy dangerous thing to save his daughter.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, crazy. All right, yeah, give us your stuff. Including all of your weapons.
Yeah, the weapons.
At least, like, you're leaving him with the sword or the shield. I guess that's fine. But, like, leave me with weapons, too, at a minimum. And also, just, like it's bad. Thievery. Bandits are bad. We don't like them, okay?
Yeah,
I realize
they could have killed them.
Kind of fun because they have a little bit of a rapport.
Yeah. They're witty. They've got banter.
I don't know. You can't have people just doing this, though.
Oh, but when the government does it, it's called taxes and it's okay, Luke?
You know what? Yes, it is.
The government doesn't even have witty banter, okay?
Yeah.
It's just a Mine form does. You have to fill out. Yeah, I don't know. I don't love these guys, but also, I guess I should say these gals, but also, imagine you're hearing the story. Literally no one thinks it's possible. So in my mind,
okay.
I'm like, they're not going to rescue their daughter. They're just going to go die to this giant horde that's out there. So I might as well take all their shit because it's just going to be out rotting in the woods.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Like I could justify it if I'm a bandit already.
If you're already a bandit and have no morals, then sure.
Luke, they didn't kill them. They could have killed them in their sleep.
Yes, but that's like, isn't that kind of a self-preservation thing? Because like, if there's a bandit group that's like just taking things from people, but if there's a bandit group that's like murdering everyone, that evokes a more swift response, right?
True. However, they heard the story that these people are on a suicide mission. Oh, whoa, you're telling me that band who is going to assault the castle with like four people didn't come back? Oh shit. Wonder what happened. Don't look at my cool new shield that I have, by the way.
Right. I don't know. I'm against it.
Wow. That is a hot take, Luke. That's what you come for.
That's right.
Listeners. Luke's against banditry. I blame the people for getting robbed twice.
You're kind of a fool me once, shame on me, fool me twice.
Other way around. Yeah. You get robbed once. Yeah, okay. That one's on them. You get robbed twice by the same people, no less. That one's on you.
It sounds like they're just following them.
Yes, it 100%
does. All right, they're rich people with contacts. They're gonna regain a bunch of stuff at this town, and we'll rob them again after that town.
It's genius. That's why I kind of respect these bandits, because they're so smart.
Okay, fair enough. If we see him a third time, then
whose fault is that?
Then I'll be on their side.
Okay.
Then I'll join up.
You gotta get recruited.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think actually a little bit before this. So when they go to the town where they talk to their booker.
Yeah.
This is kind of I didn't take a good look at the map, honestly, but this is kind of like a frontier-ish town that just like does not have a government, correct?
I think kind of, yeah.
And as a result, it's disgusting. Don't you think that at a certain point, some form of local organization that we don't have to call a government kind of naturally forms to take care of this? Or no?
Yes. Like, I don't think any place exists with that many people and doesn't have a government. Like it would be a government of some kind. It would not be like the government that's the king.
It would basically be like a gang, right?
Correct. It would be the mob.
Like gangs are essentially small governments to some degree. Right?
Correct. Yes. Sometimes they grow to be extremely large governments.
Yeah.
In rare circumstances.
So I don't know. It seems to have not happened yet.
Well, no, I think the Booker is the president or the king or whatever of this little city.
Well, but there's not, like, the services are not being taken care of.
The services as in, like, protection of property are being taken care of.
Of this guy's property, right?
Yeah.
But that's just hit. But that's not, like...
And he's able to, like...
the same thing.
But he's also able to, like, control taxation among people. Like, he's able to extort money from a bunch of heroes. Like, he is able to exert a lot of control over this place.
Yes, but all of this is not, like, providing services to the community.
Okay. All right. An alternative definition, Luke, for a form of government or a state is an entity that has a monopoly on violence.
Very good. Okay.
Now, under that definition, I don't think that there is like a state or a government running in this city, because I think everybody's just kind of able to do whatever.
Right, I don't think that there's a monopoly on violence.
Yeah, this place sounds bad.
Someone clean up the streets a little bit. Pool some money together, folks. Here we go. This is not nice. We don't enjoy this. It would be nicer if we had some street sweepers.
Maybe this is where all the freaks go.
Let's all put in a small portion of our income
into
a pool. And
Luke, every city has clean streets. I want to go live in a city that's dirty. I'm a dirty boy. I'm a freak.
This is true.
Don't you dare try and clean the streets. I will fight you if you even talk about a collection to clean the streets. We're keeping them dirty.
Good. Good. I'm glad that someone is standing up for the dirty streets.
It's what makes us unique.
That's why you love the dirty sip.
It's part of it's part of our culture, okay?
Okay.
Okay. So after they meet up with their Booker, they go talk to Moog the Wizard, right?
Yeah.
Do you feel like Moog is too poor for the service that he offers?
You mean like people should be paying more for it?
Moog is selling magical Viagra, and he lives in like a decrepit old tower, and he's doing experiments to solve the rot, which I'm sure is somewhat expensive. But like, real Viagra is a huge moneymaker for the pharmaceutical company that makes it.
Right.
Moog has like a powder that gives people like instant hard-ons to the point where they're in like the middle of a combat and they have to stop because they're too erect.
Right. Yeah.
It seems like a very valuable thing he's selling.
I wonder if it's a logistics problem that he has.
Oh, like he can only sell to his local area?
Right. He has not put in the effort to like build his empire.
Luke, then this is like doubly sad. Because another note I have about Moog and this whole crew is that I think it's really sad they never tried the mirror again after that first time.
Yeah.
Because they didn't even realize that it just went to the exact same place that it went the first time.
Yeah.
And it's doubly sad because it's like that's like a portal to another market for your boner pills, dude.
Or like... a portal to your best friend.
And this is why I think it's sad. This is why my note on this originally is that it's super sad, because you could have just tried it like one time and been like, oh shit, one of my best friends is like through this mirror.
Yeah, we could hang out all the time.
We can hang out whenever we want.
Hey, love to hang out with your kids. What's going on?
Love to see how the wife's doing. Oh, not good? Oh. You want to hop back through this mirror?
It does seem like they haven't seen each other in a long time. But they've like, I don't think that a ton of time has passed so far in this book, right?
When you say in this book, do you mean like the timeline we've been following them, or the time since they stopped adventuring?
That we have been following them.
I think it's been like, I would say 3 months or less.
I'm not sure how well this stands, because I don't know how much like time they have to just like do things like this.
Yeah.
But like, I don't know. You guys should see each other more often, especially if you have a portaling mirror. Come on.
Right. You could even like move the mirror around so you can hang out at different people's little houses, meet their families. You know, it sounds like, okay, especially considering, it sounds like one of them, there's some serious bad blood with the rest of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everybody else seems tight. Everybody else seems like they love each other. Right. And would hang if they had the opportunity.
I don't know. I don't get it.
You guys got to hang more.
Got
to
hang.
Go to a sports bar. Complain about how you can't see all the TVs perfectly and you have to crane your neck just a little bit.
That's right. It's a real issue.
That a lot of people complain that the wings are cold.
Oh. So I know that this is themed after like rock bands, right?
Yeah.
And like that's not my culture. Hmm. So I am not up on the lore.
Uh-huh.
Are like all rock bands like basically broken up because of their wives or something? What's going on here? Why are all the wives terrible?
I think it is a bit of a trope about rock bands, is as soon as one of the members gets in a serious relationship, suddenly there's like more factors than like, where are we gigging tomorrow?
Sure.
And it tends to break up rock bands.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
I think this is a pretty common thing that happens.
Okay. And we always blame the women, right?
Of course. Of course. Mostly because it's entirely their fault.
Yes. Okay. Okay. That's what I thought, but it was just like, all right, so we're writing their wives as really negative. It feels.
Not Clay.
Necessarily so. Clay's is like fine, but even at the beginning, the first thing we describe her as is, I wrote this down and then erased it actually, because it became a little bit more positive. But initially, she seems not great. Initially, it's still like, oh, you guys don't like each other.
Right.
He describes her as like
short-tempered,
sharp-tongued, and terrifying.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's bad. It's not what I want in a partner.
Right.
She doesn't like welcome Gabe at all. Super. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Especially considering like there's no women in their band.
Right.
It's a bunch of dudes. So.
what's her name? Lilith? Is that her name?
Yeah, Lilith.
Just a little extreme.
Yeah.
On the critique of Lilith.
I am actually wondering about Lilith's story though, because so the story about how Lilith and I can't remember the king's name now. What was the king's name?
Great question.
Oh no. Anyway. The story about how Lilith and the ex-king got together is that she had been like kidnapped by, I want to say like the prince to be, or like a contender to be the prince.
Mm-hmm.
And they rescued her. And then like later she offered for the ex, the person who became the king to like, you know, sleep with her and then eventually get married to her.
Yeah.
Given her behavior now, Like, I wonder if that was just a convenient excuse when they barged in at the behest of the current king. If she was like, oh, I'm being kidnapped. Like,
sure. Yeah.
I'm starting to doubt that story a little bit of like, given how, let's say voracious her appetite seems to be.
Sure.
Like, was it a kidnapping situation? Who's the villain in that situation?
Right, especially because she is willing to hook up with him the same night, and it's like it seems seems unlikely to undergo such a horrifying ordeal,
right?
And be open to a hookup.
She just seems to be like a little bit conniving. Not to say that, like, you know, if you're promiscuous, you're like, you can't be, you know, sexually assaulted or anything like that. But I just mean, like, she's very conniving. And it feels like...
Right, this is why I felt like her character is a little over the top.
Right. I don't know. It's a bit much.
It's bad.
It's a bit much. It's a bit like Cersei to the extreme. Am I wrong?
No, I agree. I
Minus the incest. At least as far as we know.
So far. Yeah.
Okay. Hold on. So there's this meeting they call of all the kings, right?
Yeah.
At a certain point in the meeting, they're describing how the horde was defeated. And this guy slayed what they described as an infernal, who's like the biggest, baddest monster that's out there.
Mm-hmm.
The name that history has recorded for this guy, this great warrior, was Aegar the Bald.
Okay. Yeah.
Fuck, guys. Why'd you do that?
Yeah, that's bad.
The Bald? Sorry, this is a guy who killed a demon spawn that was leading the hordes sent to destroy mankind, and you didn't go with like the slayer or the defender. You're like, oh, he didn't have any hair on the top of his head. That's what we remember about him.
Yeah. That feels spiteful.
Somebody didn't like him, certainly.
Somebody didn't like him. Because it's not an uncommon thing.
Right? No, it happens to a lot of men, okay?
It's not like, oh, what a weird thing. This guy is unique because he was bald.
What a unique characteristic about this man, about this probably older man.
If whenever someone is like, do you know the bald guy? I think, oh yeah, Aegar.
Unless he spent a lot of his kingly fortune trying to cover it up.
Mm.
Like, he had really expensive wigs and, like, was trying all these serums and potions.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was like, you're not getting away from this, buddy.
Well, didn't we hear, actually, that the blood of, I forget the name of the druids or something, is supposed to cure baldness?
Maybe these are related. Mm-hmm. Maybe this is why he went to war. Maybe this is why, hold on. Because it was against the monsters that were fired up by the druids. So maybe he went to war bald, and he was like, we need to solve this blight on this land. And everyone's like, yeah, kill the monsters. And he's like, oh, yeah, but also we're going to get blood so I'm not bald anymore. And they're like, we're doing this because you're bald?
So he did. He had like a Streisand effect.
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Okay. I can see that. Yeah. Yeah.
And so because that was the rallying cry, was like, get him hair! And the fact that he died before he could do it, thus.
They're lamenting it.
Right. Actually. Sort of a Like, he succeeded, but he also did it, right?
Mm-hmm. Real Greek hero or Greek tragedy.
Greek tragedy. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I like it.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, we're just trying it. We're just trying it out for size.
It's a tough hit on him. Maybe he should have emphasized, you know, that's kind of, so we've heard about like the bard situation.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
People, these bands, they earn their fame partially by the bards singing songs about them. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for our band, they've had multiple bards that always just die.
Right.
It really seems like, going back to Aegar the Bald, is that like you got to be nice to your bard,
for sure,
right? That's just PR 101.
Tip your bards, guys. Tip your bards.
Make sure they're happy. It doesn't matter if they die, right?
Look, you can always loot them afterwards.
You can always loot them and then go get another one. They're basically growing on trees.
Right.
Over here, it seems,
right?
But before they die, you have to be nice to them.
Mm-hmm.
So that they sing good songs about you,
right?
So going off of this, how much of our team's legend is inflated because of bards? Because like I'm trying to figure out, so they talk about fighting all of these like fantastical creatures.
Yeah.
But like, it's not clear to me what their strength, like, what are they just guys that are good at fighting?
Well,
like, I feel like you can't just be a regular guy who is good at fighting to take down like dragons or, you know, an army of enormous tree ants.
Right.
You got to have more stuff going on.
I think they're just good at fighting and very lucky.
Okay.
And I don't know. Because, all right, here's where I'm of two minds on this. The first is that they're drinking their own Kool-Aid, because when they're amongst themselves, they talk about these legends as if they actually happened, right? They're not performing for anyone when they're talking about the things that they did. They're talking about themselves being like, remember when we did that badass shit? Yeah, let's go do more. And maybe they're like high on their own farts, you know?
Sure. Yeah.
Alternatively, that they did do this stuff and they're just really lucky. Because the one that's like, seems insane to me was they have this encounter with the druin who's leading the horde. I think he's like Leaf, like Strider or something like that.
Yeah. I forget the name, but yeah.
And they're like, the last time they encountered him, they defeated him and left him sort of sniveling on the ground, like fully defeated him.
Yeah.
They said that he can see into the future. And so it makes it, I feel like that would make it really hard to fight somebody like that.
I agree. Yeah.
I don't even know how it would be possible to fight somebody like that who can see like a half second into the future.
Yes, I agree.
So I feel like they just got really lucky. That, or they had a bunch of magical gear.
I mean, do you think gear is a big thing in this?
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of like, there's some really magical stuff out here.
Yeah.
But like, they don't seem to possess any innate ability. Like, it all seems external to them.
Right.
Rather than our one wizard. But even him, like, I'm not sure. I haven't really seen him do much stuff.
Well, okay. We are going to get to that in a second. But I think the other reason this makes me a little bit in disbelief is, in order to do all this stuff, I feel like your level of fighting ability has to be so high that even if you're like only have a shield and no sword and you're fighting people who are armed, like you destroy them. You absolutely crush them, no question, because otherwise. How is a sword making that much of a difference that you can like fight a dragon and almost kill it or whatever?
Right.
Something's up.
So you're calling shenanigans.
I just thought of a final solution to this puzzle.
Okay.
They all suck except the last guy.
Okay.
They have been riding coattails this whole time. And the guy they've yet to recruit is the one that was actually the legend.
Okay. I think that's an option. I think my that's a good one. I think my other one is going back to their gear stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The sword that they had like opens portals to other dimensions or something, which I mean to be fair, it's like does it have other powers that make it more useful in a fight, or is that it?
It also seems to like emit blue mist or something.
Yeah. A lot of you were hinting at this, but do you want to talk about magical items and stuff like that?
Yeah, we need to talk about magic here.
Okay.
So they have this meeting with all the kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Moog is a person with magical abilities, mm-hmm. right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Why doesn't every king have a wizard that they bring with them places?
Mm-hmm.
It seems like Moog was the only magically gifted person, at least that demonstrated any kind of magic, at this big meeting with all the kings.
Right.
So like what I've been sitting here trying to puzzle out why don't the kings all have like powerful magic users at their behest? Like, oh, there's a dragon over here. I want to make sure I got my wizard nearby so they can put up mm-hmm. a magical shield if that dragon starts getting frisky.
Wait, so remind me, what did Moog do?
Well, okay. Moog's powers have been turning all the sticks to snakes in a local area.
Yes, but that was using a tool.
Sure. And then the crystal ball was also a tool. I mean, I think these wizards kind of work using tools, using like magical artifacts.
Okay.
Because like when they're in the battle, Clay is like, get out that fireball stick or that like lightning rod poker or something. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
So I think they have a collection of like magical items that they can.
But that's
like,
not
use.
Really a wizard, though, right?
Well, maybe they're like better at attuning these magical items. Like they can just use them better. Because he's also
it seems like they're. It's more of like a research position.
It does seem that way. But he's like using magic words, right? Like he's saying magic words. He's like teaching them how to use the artifacts properly. Somebody's got to create the artifacts too, right?
Yeah, but I couldn't tell if they were being created by humans or if they were like, you know, loot boxes or something.
Yeah, good question. I don't know. But, Luke, I think, if you'll indulge me, I've found a solution to why the wizards aren't present.
Okay. Good.
I think they're all insane. I think there's something about becoming a wizard where you spend so much time going so deep into this magic rabbit hole. You learn all this jargon that you're no longer able to really speak to normal people.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You become a bit of a self-imposed exile among society where you've learned all these words, you know, SPDF orbitals. And people are like, what are you talking about? You're like wave function.
You become unable to communicate in normal ways with other people
in regular society.
Okay. Right.
And so you have to just talk to other wizards from then on.
Okay.
And your friends, most of your friends are other wizards too, and the people who aren't wizards, you just like you can't relate to them at all anymore.
You can't relate to them, and then you probably come together. Because you do have a need to socialize, so you probably come together with other wizards, you know, once or a couple times a year for like to discuss your what you've come up with recently and
right
present your findings and ask each other questions about what they've got going on and that kind of thing.
Yeah. And so I think that the kings are all like, these people are so annoying and they don't really help very much. They're all kind of in their own world, so it's not worth it bringing any of them to this meeting.
let's just fund them and then take their products.
God, if only.
That they generate. If only. Yeah, if that'd only. Be great.
It'd be cool.
Yeah, I think that seems reasonable. We'll find some enclaves, I imagine.
Yeah. I hope so. I hope they're still out there.
Yeah. Can I talk about the crystal ball?
Oh yeah, we need to.
I'm going to just cut to the main point that I'm going to make. Unacceptable for Gabe to smash it.
Seems priceless.
Truly, truly unacceptable behavior. Because what he does is he's like, hey, can I use this thing that I know that you have?
Yeah.
Which means that presumably it's like a artifact that they've had for a very long time and have used many times. And Moog is like, yeah, I can get it out, but I don't know if it'll work super well, blah, blah, blah. And it works and it shows them, it flies them, you know, they get the visual view of going across the forest and get to see the city that is surrounded by the horde. Seems useful. Seems really good, actually.
Seems incredibly useful. Yeah.
Seems incredibly powerful. And then when he sees the result, he flies into a rage and smashes it, similar to how one might fly into a rage after they're killed in Dark Souls or something and throw the remote.
Correct. Yeah. Yeah.
No, you can't do that. For one thing, like, you have now received proof that your daughter is alive.
Yeah.
And like, so it's kind of, it's not all bad. Like, if anything, like, kind of a positive result.
Right. Right.
I would think.
But
also, it's not like he just smashes it once and it breaks.
No.
He smashes it a bunch of times until it breaks.
Yes.
No. Well, I'm no longer going with you. Okay?
Luke, this event is actually what led me down the rabbit hole trying to figure out what's going on with magic in this world, because the other people in the party don't seem to respond like, this is an incredibly valuable magical artifact. Stop smashing it. And this information would be so valuable to the kings who are meeting to talk about what to do, right? They could see the size of the force that they're up against. So they don't have to take this guy's word for it that there's like 100,000 monsters or whatever. They can just be like, give us the data. How many are there?
Right.
And so I'm like, I was trying to figure out. First, I was like, maybe these artifacts are really common, right? Maybe this isn't that valuable. But like, no, definitely not. and then I was like, okay, why don't the kings have these?
Right.
This is valuable reconnaissance that you could do.
They're like, truly, I'm gonna do another of our classic non-combat related uses of magic, but like the things that you could use this for.
Yes.
Right. Oh, now I'm communicating with another city.
Yes.
Or someone across the world.
Even
like instantaneously, basically.
Even the super shallow things you could do with it, right? All you have to do is tap into somebody's jealousy or their suspicion. Be like, hey, what's your wife doing right now? You want to know? $10,000 and you can look.
Okay, sure. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's so many uses for this thing. The only solution that I've come up with is that this is one of a kind.
Mm-hmm.
And
But then it's like, you can't smash it, buddy. I'm sorry. But you have lost us so far, the most powerful sword in the world and the most powerful, information gathering tool in the world as well.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Again, I'm not going with you any longer.
Yeah, but Luke's daughter really needs help.
You were a bad father. You're not going to redeem that. I'm not going to call you a good father because you're going on this trip.
Come on, Luke. He tried. He tried so hard.
Maybe try a little harder earlier. I don't know.
Not off to a great start, Luke. I'll say that.
Yeah.
The vibes, surprisingly, seem good.
So far, yeah.
But the odds seem bad.
Very low. Very poor odds.
Poor odds.
Yeah. Actually, what's the deal with the rot? Do you just get it?
I think you just...
What happens?
I think you just kind of get it.
okay.
If you're in the heart wild too long.
All right.
So,
let's do it then.
I guess let's go. Hopefully, Luke, we don't get any rot because we're going deep in the heart wild.
That's right.
But, you know, we're going to be bringing along a fresh batch of hot takes.
And if you'll join us, a bunch of dumb nerds.